The Buck Sexton Show.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break. And at the worst possible time. Call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.
Reuters reporting that North Korea launched a long-range rocket carrying what it called a satellite, which has drawn international condemnation just weeks after it carried out a nuclear bomb test. There are some who say this could be used as a test of technology for a long-range missile. North Korea said the launch of the satellite Kwangmyongsong-4, which was named for the late leader Kim Jong-il, was a complete success. It was making a polar orbit of Earth every 94 minutes. The launch order was given by his son, Kim Jong-un. He's about 33 years old. Wow, he's like my age. And a little bit of Super Bowl trivia, courtesy of the Associated Press. North Korea's newest satellite passed almost right over the stadium just an hour after it ended. So this North Korean satellite was way up in the sky over the site of the Super Bowl, according to the Associated Press here. Well, what does this mean? What can we do about it, if anything? We're joined now by Stephen Bucci. He's a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation and former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. Stephen, thank you very much for calling in.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
So let's talk about this North Korean situation first. Then there's a couple of other areas of national security I wanted to touch on with you. This seems to be a pattern. It keeps playing out. North Korea has all these sanctions against it. It is very isolated from the international community. We more or less, at least under this administration, seem to rely on China to try to rein them in. China doesn't really do a great job of doing that. And so these provocations are met with, well, what exactly? What will this lead to?
Well, to be honest with you, there's not a heck of a lot we can do to them unless we're willing to go over there and strike them. The international community, i.e. the UN in this case, you know, they called the National Security Council meeting yesterday to say, oh, gosh, we've got to do something. But as you say, heavy sanctions on them already. We probably could do more, but without Chinese assistance of a more strenuous level, there's not a lot we're going to be able to do to them.
And what is the purpose of this then? Is this just for domestic political consumption in the sense that it's, oh, look at the, this is for the greater glory of North Korea, at least the party officials and such over there who run things. It's obviously not a country where the people really get a say in anything, but this makes them feel like they're big and strong and proud, or is this also to try to squeeze more concessions out of the international community? And what purpose does it, or is it because they want the missile technology because they want to hit us at some point? Where do you fall on the scale?
Well, I get very concerned because I don't think you can just pass off the fact that they want the technology for themselves and to sell it to others, like Iran, who is behind them in ballistic missile technology. But, you know, this, you can't just dismiss that possibility. However, a lot of it is sort of the equivalent of very, very dangerous, petulant child foot stomping, saying, hey, pay attention to us. We're still important. You can't just ignore us, because they do want those the sanctions relief. They do want concessions, because otherwise they don't have anything with which to fuel these schemes.
Now, is there a possibility, you think, of putting an advanced missile defense system in South Korea? And is that something that North Korea would react to even more provocatively? Do you think that that's the right move? What would you recommend in this circumstance?
Oh, I think we should absolutely put our missile defense system in South Korea. We can also use our shipborne missile defense capabilities and move them around. That gives us a little more flexibility. The problem we're running into there is, like when we put missile defense stuff, or we're considering to put missile defense in Europe to counter Iran, the Russians responded to it, because it would also have an effect on them. In this case, if we put missile defense systems in South Korea, the Chinese get all upset about it. So, you know, you've got an administration who doesn't really like ruffling feathers, who's going to be in that possibility if they take that route. But it's probably the right way to go.
Well, one of the big concerns, I think you touched on this just a minute ago, about North Korean missile technology, nuclear technology, is that it is proliferation, right? It's the idea that this is a rogue state. They don't care who they sell this to. In fact, if they can help make the world burn down faster, they'll probably think that's a good thing. And with Iran now more open to the world, with more commerce on the way to Iran, with this sort of loosening of sanctions that's occurring, does it mean that it's going to be even harder, if not impossible, to prevent some level of proliferation in the future between North Korea and Iran on the missile technology side?
I think given the circumstances right now with the new deal, it would be pretty much impossible for us to say with 100% certainty that we could stop it. We still have the sanctions on North Korea, so, you know, we're blocking that end of it. You know, anything that comes out of there, we follow and try and track down. But with the openness for Iran and the willingness of other countries to work with them, you know, it might not be a one step from North Korea right to the mullahs in Tehran, but if there might be a couple of hops in between, that technology could get to Iran, and that's going to be very problematic for us, for Israel, and for our other allies in the region.
Now, trying to be as fair-minded as one can about this, has the Obama administration failed with regard to North Korea policy, or taking us sort of back to the beginning of our discussion, are there just really no good options in dealing with North Korea right now and they've got other priorities?
Well, it's a little of both. It is difficult to deal with North Korea because most of the options have been dried up already, but the deals that we've cut with Iran and others have made America's reputation weaker, and that emboldens regimes like Kim Jong-un in North Korea to take these steps because he doesn't worry about it. The same way Russia and China are looking at us and going, the Americans are not going to do anything about this. Why should we get concerned? That reputational role is very important, and this administration is weak on it.
So you think that there is place to criticize the administration here on this, despite the fact that it's obviously a very intractable problem. There's another issue I wanted to ask you about, and I know you've written about it here on the Daily Signal. Zika virus is serious, but it's not another Ebola. I had a friend of the show who's a PhD call in last week and a microbiologist to talk a little bit about this. What do you think are the security implications for us of this Zika virus and what the Obama administration is doing to combat it?
Well, it's a very serious disease. It doesn't have the possibility really of spreading in the horrific way that Ebola can. Because, frankly, most of the people who get Zika are, you know, they get sick for a couple of days and then they're okay. Now, the horrific part about it is it affects the most vulnerable, you know, members of our society, the unborn. If a pregnant woman gets it, it can cause birth defects. So it's kind of scary from that regard. The problem now is we're really, you know, they're still in the discovery part of this as to the transmission. It generally goes through mosquitoes, but we're finding now it can be done through sexual transmission. There's been incidents of through blood transfusion. So, you know, the CDC is actually pretty good at this. If the politicians in the administration will let them do their thing, they'll probably handle it as well as can be expected. But I don't see it turning into the kind of scare that we had with Ebola, fortunately.
So this is something that is manageable. I always ask when people come on and talk about any of these disease issues. I've always thought that pandemic disease, when people talk about what we should be focused on as a real global threat, you've got all these climate change alarmists out there say that we're going to drown in the polar bears and there's going to be all this catastrophes as a result of global warming. But pandemic disease is a real issue, and it's one with national security implications. I think it often gets lost in the debates over these issues.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, fortunately, as I say, America has the best capabilities in the world. I mean, the World Health Organization wouldn't be worth a hoot if it wasn't supported by our CDC. But it's a very, very difficult set of problems. You know, these things mutate, they change, it's really hard to control them. Our world is much more mobile today than ever before. So it is a set of problems that our government has to focus on. It shouldn't be all consuming. And it's not like the climate change folks who think, you know, that's the biggest problem in the world. It's not. But disease is a serious one, and we should have the right assets aimed at it and the right resources to try and respond to them.
Now, Stephen, I just want to ask you before we go into a break here, did on the foreign policy side of things from the GOP debate, what was your biggest takeaway, or was there really a takeaway other than they all want to destroy ISIS?
First of all, we don't really talk too much about candidates or try not to, but I think, you know, all of the Republicans are pretty strong on national defense. A little, not too many specifics, but, you know, specifics in national defense are a tough one for candidates because it's kind of wonky and people get lost on it. I'm heartened that they all realize it's, you know, as opposed to some of the other folks running, it isn't about climate change and you know, jobs. It's actually about protecting the American people and our national interests. So
right.
In that regard, I think they're all, you know, they're all pointed in the right direction. Whether the specifics, when they start to come out, we'll wait and evaluate those.
All right. Stephen Bucci, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. Thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break. And at the worst possible time, call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.